As the New Catholic Encyclopedia lays out, which is such an important resource, what is the Ark of the Covenant? The Hebrew Aron, by which the Ark of the Covenant is expressed, does not call to the mind as that used for Noah's Ark, a large construction, but rather a chest. The word is generally determined in the sacred text. So we read of the Ark of the Testimony, the Ark of the Testament, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God, the Ark of the Lord. Of these expressions, Ark of the Covenant has become the most familiar in English. The Ark of the Covenant was a kind of chest measuring 2 cubits and a half in length, 1 cubit and a half in breadth, and 1 cubit and a half in height, made of setim wood, incorruptible acacia. It was overlaid within and without with the purest gold, and a golden crown or rim ran around it. At the four corners, very likely towards the upper part, 4 golden rings had been cast. Through them passed 2 bars of setim wood, overlaid with gold, to carry the ark. These 2 bars were to remain always in the rings, even when the ark had been placed in the temple of Solomon. The cover of the ark, termed the propitiatory, the corresponding Hebrew means both cover and that which makes propitious, was likewise of the purest gold. Many of our evangelical friends, they tend to get a little bit confused when it comes to what happened to the ark, the old Ark of the Covenant. What exactly happened to it? Why do we stop hearing about it mentioned in Scripture? Why does it just vanish from Holy Writ? Fact of the matter is, we say that in order to fully understand what happened to the old Ark of the Covenant, you've got to have a complete Bible. Catholic Bibles and Orthodox Bibles are able to tell you the final appearance of the Ark in the Old Testament. Unfortunately, our evangelical friends are unable to give us a good answer on that, and instead they are left perplexed as to what happens to the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament. That is because the final appearance of that old Ark in the Bible is right there in 2 Maccabees chapter 2. And in order to see what this historical event entails, you've got to have the Deuterocanonical books in your Bible. And if you don't have them, well, you're going to miss out on a very important historical event of sacred scripture. The fact of the matter is, the early authors of Holy Writ, the New Testament authors, the Old Testament authors, and the early church fathers so greatly valued this book. Indeed, every single time the church gathers to discuss the contents of sacred scripture, 2 Maccabees is present in every canonical list. You're not going to encounter a church council gathering, whether it be the 382 Damascene Council of Rome, whether it be Hippo and Carthage in North African Code 393, 397, or the Florentine list, or the list of Trent. You are never going to encounter any of these councils lacking 2 Maccabees from the list of Old Testament scripture. So for an apostolic Christian, we can look at the Old Testament and we can say, okay, this is the final appearance of that old ark. Here it is. And we realize it's right here. As an apostolic Christian and evangelical, our Protestant interlocutors, unfortunately, are unable to find this and instead are left perplexed. But we're here to lay out, what is the Bible? What is scholarship? What do the early church fathers tell us about what happened to that, about what happened to that old ark? And does it really matter if we are in possession of the new ark? And that new ark of the new covenant can intercede for us and draw us closer, closer to the bread of life, the manna that was housed in the old ark. Well, now the new ark can intercede for us and draw us closer to that manna, the bread of life, which is our incarnate Lord and Savior, Christ. Well, before we get there, we're going to have to unveil what 2 Maccabees has to say. 2 Maccabees 2. One finds in the records that the prophet Jeremiah ordered those who were being deported to take some of the fire, as had been mentioned, and that the prophet, after giving them the law, instructed those who were being deported not to forget the commandments of the Lord, or to be led astray in their thoughts and seeing the gold and silver statues and their adornment. And with other similar words, he exhorted them that the law should not depart from their hearts. It was also in the same document that the prophet, having received an oracle, ordered that the tent and the ark should follow with him. And then he went out to the mountain where Moses had gone up and had seen the inheritance of God. Now, what is being spoken of here is Mount Nebo. But it is important because look at what is being laid out here. Not a merely pious legendary tale, but we're told it was also in the same document. So there is a possession of a document. What is being chronicled here is an actual event that occurred. And we read, it was also in the same document that the prophet, having received an oracle, ordered that the tent and the ark should follow with him, and that he went out to the mountain where Moses had gone up and had seen the inheritance of God. When Jeremiah arrived there, he found a chamber in a cave in which he put the tent, the ark, and the altar of incense. Now, this is incredible because this is about to get sealed up. This is about to get lost to history. And you've got it right here in 2 Maccabees, where we read that Jeremiah arrives, finds a chamber in a cave in which he put the tent, the ark, and the altar of incense. Then he sealed the entrance. Some of those who followed him came up intending to mark the path, but they could not find it. But did you catch that? Some that actually followed him came up intending to mark the path, but they couldn't find it. The path couldn't be found. The ark, the tent, the altar of incense sealed up. He sealed the entrance. There's some that went up with him. They wanted to mark the path so it could be found later on, so that it wouldn't be lost. So later on, with that having been marked, who knows how far later, who knows when, that with the marking of the path, they would have been able to find it. But they could not find it. When Jeremiah heard of this, he reproved them. The place is to remain unknown until God gathers his people together again and shows them mercy. Then the Lord will disclose these things, and the glory of the Lord, and the cloud will appear, as they were shown in the case of Moses, and as Solomon asked, that the place should be specially consecrated. That is an interesting part of the text, because Jeremiah gets upset. He gets mad at them and says, look, you're not meant to know where this is. You are not meant to know. It got sealed up. It got hidden away for a reason. It was the will of the Lord. And you're not going to find it. Until when, Jeremiah says? It is to remain unknown until God gathers his people together again and shows them mercy. Then the Lord will disclose these things. But notice what he says. They're trying to find the ark, or rather they're trying to have the location of the ark marked so that they can know its whereabouts. And he tells them it's meant to be hidden. But when the Lord shows mercy to his people, then he's going to disclose these things, and the glory of the Lord and the cloud will appear, as they were shown in the case of Moses, and as Solomon asked that the place should be specially consecrated. So the glory of the Lord and the cloud will appear again in history. This will occur again. Now, it will be of great benefit for us to look at the writings of the early church fathers, those incredible early defenders of the faith. And indeed, we've got the great, the magnificent Titan, Saint Ambrose of Milan, the spiritual father of the great Saint Augustine, the great Saint Ambrose of Milan, writing in the 300s. In his book, Duties of the Clergy, Book 3, Chapter 17, it is so important to pay attention to the kind of language utilized here. Let us dive in. Ambrose tells us, it is to be found also in the history of the prophet Jeremiah that he bade those who should come after him to take of the fire. That is the fire which fell on Moses' sacrifice and consumed it. As it is written, there came a fire out from the Lord and consumed upon the altar all the whole burnt offering. The sacrifice must be hallowed with this fire only. Therefore also fire went out from the Lord upon the sons of Aaron who wished to offer a strange fire and consumed them so that their dead bodies were cast forth without the camp. Ambrose goes onward. Jeremiah, coming to a spot, found there a house like a cave and brought it into the tabernacle, the ark and the altar of incense, and closed up the entrance. And when those who had come with him examined it rather closely to mark the spot, they could not discover nor find it. When Jeremiah understood what they wanted, he said, "The spot will remain unknown until God shall gather his people together and be gracious to them. Then God shall reveal these things, and the majesty of the Lord shall appear." Now, you may look at this and read this and say, okay, well, what is significant about this? What is significant about what Saint Ambrose is telling us and what some medieval fathers will tell us as well is the fact that Ambrose treats this as what? He is treating this as the history of the prophet Jeremiah. The history of the prophet Jeremiah. Now, for St. Ambrose, this is a scriptural book. And what can be found within this scriptural book is actual history and true teachings that come from God can be directly found here in this book. And he tells us it is to be found also in the history of the prophet Jeremiah. So you can find out what was the final appearance of that old Ark of the Covenant in sacred scripture. And it's right there in the book of 2 Maccabees chapter 2. The final appearance of that incredible Ark does appear there. And for the great St. Ambrose, he reads this text and he says it is to be found in the history of the prophet Jeremiah. You can find it there. And he will tell you, he'll recall, he will recount the majority of the text of 2 Maccabees 2. He'll note that Jeremiah found a spot where there's a house like a cave, brought it into the tabernacle, the ark, altar of the incense, the tabernacle, brought it into the tabernacle, and closed up the entrance. But what does St. Ambrose say? He'll close it by quoting from 2 Maccabees. After laying out that this is a historical event that truly did occur. Keep that in mind. For the great St. Ambrose, this truly did occur. Now we come to Ugo de Sanctuaro, who is a medieval father. And this is a very rarely read or encountered text that is quite important because this medieval father is writing in the 1200s. He's writing in the 1200s, and just like all of the early church fathers that gathered, now pay attention, I don't want somebody to come back and say, well, William, not all of the early church fathers quoted from 2 Maccabees. No, pay attention. Like all of the early church fathers that gathered in council after council that laid out the contents of Holy Writ, just like them, the great Ugo de Sanctuaro will provide a historical dive into 2 Maccabees, a commentary on the historical machinations of the text. And he will tell us, and it is found in the descriptions of Jeremiah the prophet, that it was necessary for those who migrated to receive the fire, as it was represented, and as he commanded them to migrate. And he gave them a law that they should not forget the commandments of the Lord. They should not wander in their minds, seeing their gold and silver and ornaments. And it was in the scripture itself how the prophet, in response to the divine response to faith, sent the tabernacle and the ark to accompany him until he went out to the mountain where Moses had ascended. And he saw the inheritance. And coming thither, Jeremiah found the place of the cave and the tabernacle and brought thither the ark and the altar of incense and closed the entrance. So here you've got yet another important church figure, Hugo de Santo Caro, in his commentary in 2 Maccabees. By the way, this is a fresh translation for you, done by a top Latin scholar just for you. If you are a patron, you are privy to this video quite early. We hope that you are enjoying it. Thank you so much for your support. It is because of your support as a member that we are able to do these videos, and we incredibly thank you. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. So it was in the scripture itself how the prophet, in response to the divine response to faith, sent the tabernacle and the ark to accompany him until he went out to the mountain where Moses had ascended. Notice how he concludes it by noting, the entrance is closed. We don't know what happened to that old ark. And now we're going to stumble upon an incredible commentary in just a moment, one that should blow you away. So if you're asking, if you're wondering what happened to that old ark, the final appearance is in 2 Maccabees. And if you are an evangelical, you don't have it in your Bibles. You should have it in your Bible. And you should realize that the early church, the early church's Bible would have and did have it. It did contain it. The Luther Bible had it. That should tell you everything, that the Luther Bible had it. Even though Martin Luther disparaged the importance of these incredible deuterocanonical books, these canonical texts, he did not remove them from his Luther Bible. That was done later. We now encounter Cornelius Lapide, his commentary from the 1600s on 2 Maccabees. What a fascinating commentary here. Now, Cornelius Lapide is, in my opinion, one of the great commentators in sacred scripture. One of the greatest. Very hard to find a better commentator than him. Very, very hard. He will tell us, the Ark of the Covenant was placed into the rock, and those wandering about were unable to find it. And with prayers, did the rock absorb it and was sealed. By the very name of the Lord, it is covered by a cloud, so it was hidden from that time, and no one can know the place nor see it until this day. Nor see it until this day. Cornelius Lapide. If anybody is to stop and wonder and say, well, I've read the Old Testament and the ark just vanishes from being mentioned. No, the ark gets mentioned all throughout the Old Testament. And then in 2 Maccabees, we find the final appearance of that ark. Now, for Catholics today, if you ask us, well, is the location of that ark important? Well, for a Catholic, we know where the new ark of the new covenant is. For a Catholic, we know where the new ark is. In Luke 1:39-45, we read, in those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a city of Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the babe in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what spoken to her from the Lord. Elizabeth, hearing the greeting, the babe leaping in her womb, being filled with the Holy Spirit, she exclaims, blessed are you. And the words are very clear, hearkening to the book of 2 Samuel in the Old Testament. How is it granted me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? 2 Samuel reminds us of how is it that the ark of my Lord should come to me? Very clear parallelism there. The exclaiming by Elizabeth, by Saint Elizabeth, is an exclusive Greek word only used in the presence, in the context of the ark. Of the presence and in the context of the ark, all of this is pointing to a clear biblical truth. Luke the evangelist skillfully rearranged his material in his gospel's initial chapters to make the strongest possible of parallels between the mother of the Lord and the ark of the Lord. In comparing the Old Testament to Luke, he clearly depends directly on the Greek Old Testament for his vocabulary and phrases. We know as Catholics where that new ark is. Anybody at any time, if anybody wonders, well, where is that old ark? Well, I think it's important to realize that St. Mary is prefigured in the Old Testament Ark of the Covenant, with how incredibly blessed she was, able to hold within her flesh the Word of God, the Logos, the manna from heaven. Today, we have the ability to ask the new ark to intercede for us, the new Eve, the new ark. And indeed, that new ark, we know, is in heaven. Then the temple of God was open in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. And there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, an earthquake, and great hail. Now a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. This is Holy Mary. This is Saint Mary. She is the new ark of the new covenant. So we do know where the new ark is. Still makes for a fascinating piece of historical information to realize that the book of 2 Maccabees shows us the final appearance of that old ark. Now you may be privy to fantastic tales like Noah's Preserved and Raiders of the Lost Ark, or the fact that today there are some Ethiopians that claim to have the old ark. All of these fantastic tales of adventure, of incredible journeys through hidden lands, through hidden treasures like the old ark of the covenant. And we stop and we're just captivated by such magnificent stories. But at the end of the day, what should captivate us the most is that the Bible tells us this hidden away. And we're also told that when Jeremiah arrived, he found a chamber in a cave. He put the tent, the ark, in the altar, and he sealed it away. He sealed it. He found out there are people trying to follow him, and he reproved them. You're not going to find it, he basically told them. And he said, the Lord will disclose these things, and the glory of the Lord, and the cloud will appear. They were shown in the case of Moses and Solomon, as Solomon asked that the place be specially consecrated. So we are told there will be a time where the Lord will disclose these things, and the glory of the Lord and the cloud will appear. They'll return. But what will be disclosed? Does he say that this ark will be revealed? The fathers didn't believe it would one day be found. They believe it was sealed away. But 2 Maccabees does tell us certain things will be disclosed. The location of the glory cloud, the glory of the Lord, will be disclosed. When will that happen? We're told, until God gathers his people together again and shows them mercy. Today, as a Catholic, we know where the new ark of the new covenant is. And the new ark of the new covenant can intercede for us and draw us closer to her son. Holy Mary, pray for us.